Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, this little verse of Scripture. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to read that with me. Would you do that? Let's read it together. Ready? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, bless this morning as I seek to preach the wonderful, simple, but profound truth that's presented to us in this verse of Scripture. May you help me to think clearly, to speak simply and plainly. Don't care about impressing anybody, but I do want to be a blessing to everyone. And you know how they need to be blessed. Sometimes a blessing is conviction. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's instruction. You know what each person needs. And I'm praying that you'll use me to say something that will address the needs that are represented by everyone here today. And please help the people to listen. I know they've lost an hour of sleep. And because of that, they're perhaps a little bit drowsy. And I know it's hard to listen in this day and age when our brains are programmed by our televisions and our society to just listen briefly. But when we come to the house of God, we need to listen intently. We need to give our undivided attention. It's not something we can just need to just get the gist of. We need to get the meat of it. And I pray this morning that people will be able to listen carefully and get the meat of what I'm trying to say. So many times I've shared this truth with people, Lord, and they say, yep, I agree with it. And they go out and they do something completely opposite within just 24 hours. It always frustrates me. Lord, they obviously have not grasped this wonderful truth of putting you first. So please, grip us with that truth today. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory, for the welfare of your people, amen. I'm preaching on something this morning that I believe every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ would probably say that they believed. But very few of them actually practice. And by their fear to practice what I'm preaching, they prove that they really do not believe what I'm preaching. Maybe they just don't understand it. Maybe that's the reason. But their reluctance and their refusal to put this into practice tells me that they either don't understand it or they don't really believe it. Now here is what the simple truth is that I'm preaching on this morning. It is that if you will live for the glory of the Lord according to His Word, let me say that again. If you will live for the glory of the Lord according to His Word. I emphasize according to His Word because today people are caught up in feelings, emotions, experiences, and they're neglecting the Word of God. And so many times they believe that they're living for the glory of the Lord and they're violating His Word at the same time. You cannot live for the glory of the Lord in violation of His Word. You cannot do that. And so I say the truth is this. If you will live for the glory of the Lord according to His Word, not according to your thoughts, not according to your feelings, but according to His Word, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Now, this is the simple truth of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Recently, I had a conversation with a man. He's not a member of our church, but he is a professing Christian. And the conversation that I had with this man, it is a conversation that is very similar to what I've had with many, many other people throughout the years. Probably seldom a month goes by that I don't have a conversation, something along this line. But here he was. He said he believed in the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was no doubt about that. But his life was in absolute chaos. And as we talked, I primarily just listened to him for a rather lengthy period of time. But as he talked and as I listened, he told me about how his bills were piling up, how his vehicles were broken down, how his hours at work were being cut, and on and on and on and on he went about how messed up his life was. Now I listened to this gentleman with genuine sympathy. I love him. I love people. And I listened to him, not with ridicule, but I listened to him with a very sympathetic heart. And as I did, I picked up on a few things that were clear violations of God's Word. One of them was that he was living in immorality. Another was this, that he was not going to church anywhere. So when he finished pouring out his heart, telling me about all of his troubles, I asked him this. I said, listen, how about come to church with me this coming Sunday? You say you love the Lord? How about come to church with me this Sunday? And here's what he said. He said, I know I ought to, preacher, but I cannot go to church until I get my bills called up and get some other things in my life straightened out. Now, though he did not have any work to do on today, on this Sunday, he said, I'm hoping I'll get some lined up. But he did not have any schedule for this Sunday to help him bring in some income in order to get his vehicles fixed and pay his bills and so forth. He said, I just can't come to church until I get some things straightened out and so forth there. Now, whenever he said this, and we were having a very cordial conversation, and I reached in my coat pocket and I pulled out my little Bible that I usually carry with me. And I pulled it out and I said, let me show you something. And I turned to Matthew chapter 6. And I gave him a crash course on what I'm preaching to you this morning. I pointed out there in Matthew chapter 6, I started out at long about verse 26, and I said this. I said, look at this verse here. I said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I said, now look here. I said, you hear the birds singing? And I said, you know something? The Lord takes care of them. He feeds them. He takes care of them. They don't worry about a thing in the world. I said, do you believe the Lord loves those little birds? He tells us that not one little sparrow can fall to the ground without Him knowing about it. He said, yeah, I believe the Lord cares about the birds. I said, do you believe that you are more important in the eyes of God than a bird? And to my amazement, he had to stop and think about it. And he thought a minute, and he said, yeah, I believe I'm more important in the eyes of God than a bird is. I said, well, if he takes care of those birds, don't you think he'll take care of you? He said, yeah, that makes sense. I said, all right, now, let me show you something else here. And I went on down to verse 28, and I said, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I said, now look. And I pointed out a flower. I said, look at that flower there. I said, not a beautiful thing. He said, yes, it is. And I said, you know, you look around, you see different kinds of flowers and so forth. I said, they're so pretty. And I said, you know who clothes those flowers, who makes them beautiful? I said, that's the Lord. And the Bible is telling us here that the Lord clothes those flowers in beauty that is far superior than anything that King Solomon could ever adorn himself in. Now, you think about that. King Solomon was the richest man in the world of his day. He had unlimited power, unlimited wealth. He could do anything he wanted to. And I can imagine if you walked into King Solomon's palace and you would see the gold and all the decorations, and you would see how that he was dressed and how his queens would have been dressed and his servants and so forth. You'd look at that and said, my, that is something. But if you had compared the adornment of Solomon and his household with that of a rose, you'd determine the rose is much more pretty. It's much more beautiful. I said, that's God that does that. I said, now, don't you think that you are more important to God than a flower? I said, think about this. He says, look at that. It's like grass. And the grass comes up. The Lord makes it beautiful. The plant comes up with the flowers and so forth. The Lord makes it beautiful, but it's here today. It's gone tomorrow. Otherwise, it's only here for a short period of time. You're here for decades. Don't you think that you are more important to God than a flower is? And he thought a moment, and then he said, yes, that makes sense to me. I said, all right, now, I want to show you something else. I said, realizing that God feeds the birds, but you're more important to God than the birds, and that God clothes the lilies, the flowers, and so forth, with more beauty than Solomon could clothe himself, and that you're more important to God than a flower or a piece of grass, I said, listen to this verse, the rest of this passage. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said, now, you see that? If you will put God first, you are more important to God than a bird is or a flower. And if you will put the Lord first in your life, and you will seek to live a life that honors the Lord in obedience to His Word, I said, don't you think that God will take care of you? And listen to what He said. He said this. He said, you're right, preacher. He said, I'm doing it backward, aren't I? I said, you sure are. I said, you're trying to straighten your life out and neglecting God. Whenever God says, you take and you put me first in your life and seek to glorify me with your life, and I'll straighten your life out. I'll take care of the mess if you will just put me first. And he realized that. I thought, that's a great way that he put it. I'm doing it backward on it. Instead of straightening my life out and then putting God first, I just need to put God first and let God straighten my life out. And I said to him, you are absolutely right. I said, now, will you come to church with me Sunday? I thought, surely, according to what he just said, he's going to say, yeah, man, just tell me what time. But here's what he said. He said, no, like I said, I have some things I got to take care of first. Now, I want to tell you something about this man's life. It's already a mess. He was in his 30s. His life was already a mess. But it's going to get a lot worse. His life's going to get a lot worse. Just like the lives of some of you, his life is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And you know the reason? He said it. He said it well. He's doing it backwards. He's doing it backwards. If you want God to intervene in your life, then you put Him first and trust Him. Don't profess to put Him first and trust Him and then go out disobeying Him and trying to straighten things out. No, your way's already got your life pretty messed up, hasn't it? Why don't you just put the Lord first? So I'm going to live for His glory. I'm going to do my best to live according to my understanding of His Word and let the Lord take care of the mess that I've made of my life. God says, if you'll do that, I'll take care of you. Now, isn't that a pretty simple thing? Huh? Isn't it pretty simple? People tell me all the time, I agree with you on that. I believe that, preacher. Then they turn right around and do just the opposite. I agree, preacher. What I need to do is quit trying to straighten my life out and trust the Lord and live for Him and trust Him to straighten it out. I agree with you, preacher. But then they go and do exactly the opposite. They say, when I get my life straightened out, then I'm going to start living for the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. Exactly backwards. Now, why in the world is this so difficult? Why is this so difficult for those of us that profess to know the Lord as our Savior? Why is it so difficult for us to trust Him as we say we know we ought to and let Him work things out? Now, this is a very simple sermon this morning. 2 points. Amen. May get out early in 2 instead of 3, all right? Why is this so difficult? First reason is this. It's because God's ways are so different from our ways. The way that God straightens our mess out is always different than the way we think that He ought to do it. His ways are so different from ours. Because God's ways are different from ours, we must learn. You get this. We must learn His ways and then by faith follow them. How do we learn the ways of God? We get into this book. We get in this book. Yeah, listen, apart from this book, your ways are going to be completely backwards from the way God says that you ought to live your life. Now, listen to the passage of Scripture back in the book of Isaiah. Back in the book of Isaiah. You ought to at least mark this in your Bible or somewhere, have it familiar with you. But in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Now, listen at verses 8 and 9. The Lord says this. Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you get that? The Lord says His ways are not our ways. Our ways are not His ways. You say, I'm going to straighten my life out. You're going about it your way. That's not God's way. God says, put me first and let me do the straightening out. Huh? Just exactly the opposite of the way we tend to want to do things. That is why that our minds must be renewed. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, listen to what the Bible says, Romans 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, here we are. We're brought up in this world. We're bombarded with it in our school systems. Yeah, we're not taught to live for the Lord anymore in the school systems. Amen. And so we're bombarded with this. All the business world, everything around us is telling us how we ought to do things. And then we get saved, and the Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world. That is, we're not to think like this world thinks. Well, how in the world am I going to get away from thinking like I've been programmed to think for all these years? He says you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how am I going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind? That is, get in this book. And I get in this book, and here I read the thoughts of God expressed in the words of God. Here I learn how God thinks, and how I think wrong. I learn all of that here in the Word of God. So our way of thinking is molded by the world around us, and it must be remolded by the written Word of God. We are programmed to lean into our own understanding, and we must be reprogrammed to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. That's what the Bible tells us back in the book of Proverbs and chapter 3. Listen at verses 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Did you get that? Don't lean unto your own understanding. No, you trust in the Lord. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see that? Instead of leaning to my own understanding, doing things the way I can see they ought to be done, instead I'm just going to live for the Lord, put Him first, and let the Lord straighten the mess out. That's the way we need to do it. Now, you say, I believe that, preacher. If you believe that, say amen. Yeah, this gentleman, he said, preacher, he said, I believe that. But then listen to yourself. It's like, I wish I somehow could have got that man to stop and listen to how he was contradicting himself. You say, I believe that. If I take and I trust in the Lord, I don't lean to my own understanding, I just do things God's way, yes, I believe God will work it out. But now listen to yourself. I hear statements like this. I believe the Lord will meet my needs if I will work and honor Him with the tithe of my income, but things are tight at my house, preacher. You don't understand the bills that I have. Wait a minute. You just said you believe God would meet your needs if you would work and honor Him with His tithe of your income, but? Listen to yourself. I know the Lord commands me to witness for Him, but, preacher, I just don't have that winsome personality. I'm not an outgoing person, but, preacher, I'm an introvert. Wait a minute. You said you know the Lord commands you to be a witness for Him. Preacher, I know I ought to go to church, but I have homework to do. That's my only day off, to clean the house or mow the grass, to wash my car. That, preacher, on that day I've got to study for exams. Preacher this, preacher that. Did you not say you knew you ought to go to church? That is biblical, by the way. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, according to Hebrews 10:25. Listen to yourself. Preacher, I know fornication is a sin, and the Bible makes no bones about that. But we're two consenting adults. Huh? We're planning on getting married eventually. That's what this gentleman said. This is my fiancée. We're going to get married. How long have you been planning to get married? 7 years now. Whoa. Huh? You know? You see, instead of doing the things the Lord's way, you're determined to do them your way. Preacher, I know drinking alcoholic beverages is sinful, and it is. Amen. It is. But, you know, what's wrong with a social drink? I don't see any. You don't see anything wrong with it. That's the problem. It's your way, not God's way. I have to do it in order to socialize with the business world. Preacher, I know it's wrong to spend money that I don't have for things I can't afford, but I really want this. All the neighbors' children, they have those name brand shoes. Preacher, I know, but I need this. I would like to have this. No, wait a minute. You know the Bible tells you not to spend money you don't have for things you can't afford. I know the Bible says I'm to follow the leadership of my husband, but you don't understand my husband. And you don't understand how much more intelligent I am than my husband. You know what you're doing? You're leaning to your own ways. You're following your own logic instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a problem. You are living in the book of Judges. The book of Judges reveals what happens when God's people do that which is right in their own eyes. You think about that. The book of Judges, that's the history of God's people. And twice in that book, Judges 17:6 and 21:25, it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know what they did whenever they did that? They did all kinds of crazy things. They started justifying sodomy, what they call homosexuality today. They were involved in fornication. They were involved in murder, idolatry. And as a result of that, they were living in bondage to the pagans around them because they were doing that which was right in their own eyes. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, right before they went into that promised land and took that promised land, Moses is meeting with them, and here's what he warned them of in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. He says, "Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." He says, whenever you get in there in that land, don't you do what's right in your own eyes. You do what I'm telling you to do here. The book of Deuteronomy, that's a repetition of the law of God. And he says, you do what I'm telling you, not what's right in your own eyes. They get over there, they do what's right in their own eyes, and their lives end up in an absolute mess. We need to realize God's ways are not our ways. And if you are going to live for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord, you are going to live a life that goes completely against the way you think you ought to do a lot of things. And completely against the way a lot of people in the world will tell you how to do things. Now, that's one of the reasons why that it's so hard for us to put Matthew 6:33 into action in our lives. But there's a second reason. I said there were two reasons I was going to give you. The second one is this. It is because living for the glory of God and according to His Word requires faith. It requires faith. After explaining the course of action a person should take according to the Word of God, I'm often asked this. Preacher, I don't see how it will work out. How in the world is God going to work it out? If I just trust Him and do things His way, preacher, how is God going to work it out? And they're hoping I can just give them an answer. But you know what I have to say? I don't know. I don't know. I just know this. God says if I'll put Him first in my life, that He'll work things out. And I not only know that based upon the Word of God, but because I have practiced that in my life, I know this. God somehow works it out when I can't figure out how in the world it will work. But they want me to tell them how God's going to do it. They'd like me to say this. Well, hear what God's going to do. God's going to give you a job, a better job. You're going to make a lot more money, this, that, and the other. I have no idea how God's going to do it. And I don't want to try to tell God how to do it. I just mess it up, amen? But I do know that I have trusted God when I did not see how things could or would ever work out. And God has never let me down. God has honored His Word. If I could explain to you how God was going to work it all out for you, you would proceed not by faith, but by sight. Because I would have explained it to you. Now you can see how it's going to work out. But you realize this, God's people are saved by what? We're saved by grace through faith. We simply take God at His Word, do we not? We believe in Him. And you realize that that is the way we are to live also. Here's a wonderful verse of Scripture, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. A great verse of Scripture, Colossians 2, verse 6. It says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. Amen? Now, how am I supposed to walk? How am I supposed to live my life? That's the idea of the guy, walking Him. This is how I'm supposed to live my life. The very same way that I got saved, by faith. Faith, not by sight, but by faith. Not being able to figure it all out, but just by faith, just trusting the Lord and say, "All right, Lord, I don't see how it's going to work out, but You said do it like this, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live my life by simple faith." And you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I love that chapter of the Bible. It's what I call the Faith's Hall of Fame. Because what we have is you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it begins by giving a definition of faith, and then it begins telling what people did by faith. And they did great things. You read there how that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. You read how Enoch was translated into heaven without dying. You read how Noah built an ark and thus saved his family and saved the human race from the universal flood. You read about how Abraham, not knowing where that he was going to go, just stepped out because God said to and headed in the direction God told him to go to. And you read about how Sarah, in her old age, conceived strength and gave birth to a child miraculously. And over and over and over you read about these things. But you know, let me tell you something. They did it by faith, the Bible says. And the faith that they exercised was in what God said. Now that's important. Because so many times people come up with this. They say, "Well, I'm just trusting God. I just feel like this is the way God wants it done. I'm just trusting God. I just believe this is going to work out there." Let me tell you something. Faith is not trusting your feelings. Faith is trusting what God says. And many times that means you go directly in opposition to your feelings. God says to Sarah, you're going to give up birth to a child. Sarah sure didn't feel like she was going to give birth to a child, but she did. Huh? God says to Noah, "I want you to build an ark. It's going to rain. It had never rained before. 100 and some years he works on that ark. I guarantee you, he didn't get up every morning and say, "Man, this is exciting. Everybody's laughing at me, balking at me, and saying, you know, when I tell them it's going to rain, it's never rained before. They don't even know what it is." But Noah did it anyway. Why? By faith. When God came to Abraham and said, "I want you to leave your land, your people, everything, and I want you to just step out on faith and go to a place where I'm not even going to tell you where it is till you get there." You think that man was excited about that? You think his feelings were saying, "Whoa, man, this is exciting"? I guarantee you it went against his feelings. Faith goes against your feelings. And we live in a day of this mushy Christianity in which everybody, it's their feelings they think that just because I feel this way that everything's going to work out. You've got faith in your feelings instead of faith in the Word of God. You put your faith in the Word of God and it's going to shoot your feelings down more often than not. It's faith. It's faith in what the Word of God. Now, three times in the New Testament we are told this, the just shall live by faith. Remember, we received the Lord by faith. How are we to walk in the Lord? The same way we received Him, by faith. And the Bible tells us, and I've said three times in the New Testament, it's quoting from a verse in Habakkuk, that the just shall live by faith. That's Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. But listen to what Hebrews 10:38 adds to that when it says, the just shall live by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 10:38. If you were at Hebrews chapter 11, you're almost there already. Hebrews chapter 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Now get this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I'm going to live for the glory of God. I'm going to live for the pleasure of God. Then that means I am going to have to live by faith, trusting His ways when they don't make sense to me. Trusting Him whenever my feelings tell me to go a different direction. I am going to have to trust Him. if I am going to please Him. Now, I want to please the Lord with my life, and if you're a Christian, you ought to want to please the Lord with yours. Amen? You ought to want to please the Lord. That's the purpose of living, is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is vanity if it's not for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all just temporal. If it's not, it has no eternal value. It's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what the Bible says. If this is all false, if there's nothing to that. But no, He says we're to live by faith for His glory, and He has no pleasure in those that draw back. And then you think that, you just look down to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, and in verse 6 it says this, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, but the verse doesn't stop there. We believe that God is, amen? The fool hath said in his heart, the Bible says twice, that there is no God. We're not fools. We believe that God is. But get this. We must not only believe that He is, but that He is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Otherwise, I'm living for His glory. I'm living for His kingdom. I'm seeking to honor Him and please Him with my life. And the Bible says, I must believe that this God that I believe is, that if I will seek to honor Him and glorify Him with my life, that He will reward me for doing so. That's the truth of Matthew 6:33. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, for some of you here, your life is a mess. And probably all of us here know of others whose lives are messes. And your life or their life has been a mess for years. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Every year, it gets worse and worse, worse and worse. Never gets improvement. And you say, why? Why is this? It's very simple. You're living according to your own understanding instead of for the Lord and according to His written word. It's just that simple. You're wanting God to do things your way. And God will not cooperate with you. Huh? Yeah. I'm in my sin, but I believe in the Lord and He's going to bless me. No, God's not going to cooperate with you. In fact, if you're a believer in Christ and you're out there living in sin expecting God to bless you, I've got a shocking surprise for you. God's getting ready to beat the daylights out of you. Because He promises to chasten His children. Amen? Now, if you're a child of the devil, you can go ahead and self-destruct and get away with it, and your devilish father will not interfere. But if you're a child of God and you get out there and you're self-destructing, He's going to beat the devil out of you. Amen? I like what they said to Brother Roloff. Been with the Lord for years. They had those children's homes, and they asked him, said, is it true that you beat those children? And Brother Roloff said, if I can't preach Jesus into them, I'll beat the devil out of them. Amen? I tell you what, the Lord will beat the devil out of you. Amen? In fact, you read 1 Corinthians there, and it says He'll even beat some of us to death if we don't straighten up. That's pretty serious, is it not? Yeah. Listen, eternal security does not mean you have a light view of sin. No siree. But the lives just keep getting worse and worse and worse because you want to do things the way you want to do it, the way you think it's going to work out, and God will not cooperate with you. You are wanting God to bless you and to turn your life around, but you're not willing to trust Him with your life and obey Him in His Word. And God is not going to bless that. He is not going to cooperate. Now, if you want God's blessings, it's very simple. You cooperate with Him. It's not, God, I want you to cooperate with me. No, you want God's blessings, you cooperate with Him. Not Him with you, but you with Him. You must turn from your own understanding by faith and just say, God, I'm going to do it your way. Preacher, how will it work out? I told you I can't tell you that. If I could and I did, you wouldn't have to live by faith. And God wouldn't get the glory. But I can tell you this. Based on the promise of God, that's the most important thing. I've experienced it myself. That is secondary, by the way, to the Word of God. It wouldn't matter whether I experienced it or not. If God said it, it's true. Amen. But I have put God to the test, and I've seen it over and over and over again. Just put God first. Put God first. I've walked off of jobs because of things that were wrong. Did so whenever I was a student in Bible college with a wife and son to support and college bills to pay. I remember when I came home that Sunday after the service and I made that decision in the morning worship service. My wife said, "What in the world are we going to do?" I said, "Trust God. I don't have the answer, but God does." And you know what? Within 2 days, God had given me a better job. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I can tell you story after story after story, just doing things God's way, how it works out. I cannot explain it, but I know God honors His Word. Let me ask you, Christian, your life is a mess. Quit trying to figure out how to straighten it out. You just say, "I'm going to put the Lord first and let Him do the straightening out." And you'll be amazed what He'll do with your life. You'll be absolutely amazed. Let's stand.